Now, a new film called Sisters with Transistors about the unsung female pioneers of electronic music is released today, featuring women like Clara Rockmore, Suzanne Kiani and Delia Derbyshire of Doctor Who theme fame. The film is narrated by Laurie Anderson and celebrates the achievements of the women of groundbreaking electronic music from the 1930s onwards, the pioneers in a world dominated by men. The director of the film, Lisa Rovner, joins me now, as does Bishi, singer, composer and artistic director and co-founder of which the Women in Technology Creative Industries Hub, a platform to increase the visibility of women at the intersection of music, creative technology and STEM. Lisa, let me come to you first. I mean, congratulations. Absolutely loved this documentary, the point of obsession, actually. Why did you decide to make it?
Thank you so much. I was just drawn to these women's stories, obviously their music, but I think the thing that really drew me was when I read Laurie Spiegel explaining that women were especially drawn to electronic music when the possibility of a woman composing was in itself controversial. You know, the thing that I thought I found fascinating about these women's stories is this idea that electronics enabled these women. It's a very unique emancipation story, because this new technology allowed women to be heard by others without having to be taken seriously by the male-dominated establishment. As Suzanne Chiani says in the film, you could do it all yourself. You were the composer, the performer, the sole arbiter of your creation. In a sense, you could present music directly to your audience. And I found that absolutely fascinating.
Absolutely. And you've got some stunning footage throughout the documentary, which is beautifully woven together, home videos, archives. How on earth did you manage to get all of that?
It was a challenge. It took years. And I have to say my stint as a private detective really came in handy. You know, some of the archive was straightforward, like the archive of Delia and Daphne. And then some of it took years to locate. I was actually swapping archive until the very, very last day in the edit. And I have to say, I don't think, you know, this film was really challenging to make. I wasn't commissioned to make it. It was really something that I kind of made independently. When we talk about independent film, really it means without budget. But it was very difficult. And what I should say is that the archive really dictated who I was able to cover in the film. And it's important to note that this is in no way the definitive history of women in electronic music. This is a history of women in electronic music. I don't believe a definitive history exists, because I think that history is not fixed, that it's constantly evolving. And what I hope is that people walk away with a kind of curiosity to keep looking and including women and people of color to this history as they're rediscovered.
Absolutely. I mean, you definitely opened my eyes to it. And I was in a lot of sort of wormholes, digging up on lots of people from watching this documentary. And you begin with one of the early pioneers, Clara Rockmore, who played the theremin. And there's a wonderful clip of her in the 70s, even though she was playing it in the 30s. This is a clip from the 70s demonstrating the instrument. Let's have a listen.
Now, here, hold your hand over this. It's a fallacy to think that the instrument is easy to play. You know, it is much more difficult than the violin. I was a concert violinist before I played this.
Fabulous clip there. Bishi, you've played the theremin, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
And is it hard? She says it's harder than the violin.
It's incredibly hard, but it's a beautiful experience.
And lots of these women were classically trained musicians, as are you. So do you think that helps?
Well, it certainly was an entry point for all of these women. What's really progressive and really beautiful about the moment we're in now is you have synths on your phone, you have basic music editing software on tablets, on laptops. And so that barrier of having to go to music college or having to be trained has been removed, which I think is really progressive and very important.
And Lisa, how important was new technology, we've got the technology, as Lisa is saying now, but how important was new technology to the explosion of these new sounds?
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating how obviously these new devices created opportunities for women, especially women composers, but it also opened up music to the entire field of sound. You know, electronic music not only changed the modes of production, but it also changed the very terms of what we define as music.
Yeah, I think in the film, it's Elaine Riddick says something lovely about it. It's a love story with her synthesizer. I particularly loved that. But of course, it wasn't always accepted, was it? Because the soundtrack to Forbidden Planet wasn't even seen as music, because composers were worried that they'd be written out. So we weren't even allowed to be described as a composition of music, was it?
No, it wasn't. So sad. And you really hear that in Bibi when she's kind of talking about it, that they weren't even, you know, they were, yeah, it was called Electronic Tonalities. It was so fascinating, that soundtrack, because it was made with amplified and amplified homemade electronic circuits recorded on tape. And it's fascinating because Louis and Bibi were building their own instruments from army surplus stores, because as Bibi says in the film, there weren't any to buy.
So they were just collecting it themselves. It's brilliant. Now, Bishi, you've been involved in events celebrating Delia Derbyshire. We're best known for the original Doctor Who soundtrack, which we heard. Tell us a bit about her. Who was she?
So Delia Derbyshire was born in Coventry and she studied maths and then music at Cambridge. And I think there was a stint at, Boosey and Hawkes? And then she got a job as a trainee assistant at the BBC Radiophonic Workshop, which, hello, here we are. And she was known for harvesting sounds from real noises, and she loved sampling household objects and then manipulating them and looping them to create melodies and sounds and textures on tape. And she had creative relationships with the likes of Stockhausen and Peter Maxwell Davis and Brian Jones. She was in the band White Noise with David Vorhaus, and she engineered for the likes of Yoko Ono. So an incredibly groundbreaking woman.
Absolutely. Let's hear a bit of Delia back in the 60s explaining how she built a track using recorded sound.
We don't always go to electronic sound generators for our basic sources of sound. If the sound we want exists already in real life, say, we couldn't go and record it. But those basic sounds aren't really interesting in their raw state like this. To make them of value for a musical piece, we have to shape them and mould them. We can get the lower sounds we need from the rhythm by slowing down the tape, and the higher sounds by speeding up the tape. And then all we have to do is cut the notes the right length. We can join them together on a loop and listen to them. And then with the higher notes of the rhythm, again we join them together on a loop and play it in synchronization with the first tape. And over this we can play.
Lisa, it is such a joy to listen to it again. And there's so much good archive and so many brilliant women that you've highlighted. And one of the ones that stuck out for me was the composer Pauline Oliveros, because she had a very philosophical take on music they were making. Tell us about her instructions to encourage deep listening.
Yeah, so Pauline Oliveros is a fascinating composer from the United States. She was particularly drawn to talking about gender inequality. It was a theme that she addressed repeatedly. She wrote an essay in the New York Times in 1970 that questions, the title of the piece is Why Have There Been No Great Women Composers? And then she enumerates reasons, including gender bias and societal expectations. She was very influenced by her studies of Native American culture and Eastern religions. And her compositions really introduced this meditative and ritualistic practice and while exploring deep and existential ideas like listening. Her sonic meditations were text-based scores, experiments in self-care. And when she published them in 1971, she shared her goals for these scores, which included expanding consciousness and healing. I think what's so fascinating, Pauline Oliveros was kind of founded this idea of deep listening. And she really believed and argued that listening was a form of activism, and that through deep and inclusive listening, we could heal. And I think it's such a beautiful message for these times. You know, one of the things that I really, I feel like I hear differently now after making this film. I feel like I listen differently. And one of the things that I think is the biggest takeaway, I think, for me, and what I hope for audiences, is for people to understand the importance of active and engaged listening, especially for what's left out.
Absolutely. I mean, the documentary really does do that. It makes, as soon as you watch it, you just want to sit and listen to what's going on outside your window. Bishi, I know that Pauline Oliveros was a big influence for you, but who else got you interested in electronic music growing up?
Well, definitely Laurie Spiegel, Daphne Oram, Delia Derbyshire, everybody who's involved in this documentary. I mean, my path into electronic music was introduced by artists such as Bjork, Pulp, the Beastie Boys, Stereolab, all of these slightly left-field indie bands and artists who were opening me up to the world of sound. And you know, it just absolutely changed my life in terms of being this kind of polymath woman, which I still think is a very misunderstood concept. So it's been with me throughout my life.
And you mentioned Laurie Spiegel. She worked with the Bell Labs computers, didn't she? Because you mentioned Bjork and all those other great people that we've grown up listening to.
Yeah.
But we sort of take the technology for granted because that's the age we're living in. But these were the women who were kind of really inventing it, figuring it out for themselves, weren't they? Tell us about Laurie Spiegel.
Yeah, well, I'm very lucky that I got to meet Laurie Spiegel a couple of summers ago and I got to spend time in her warehouse. And she's really encouraged me to pursue all of my kind of analog synth love. But she was famed for creating software for Bell Labs.
Let's listen to some of her music and you can talk over the top of it. But I think you should hear this. This is a bit of Laurie Spiegel.
Yeah. It's absolutely meditative and beautiful, and a piece of hers, a sediment, it was actually included in the Hunger Games in 2012. She realised a piece of music called Harmonix Mundi, which was a sonic realisation, and it was sent in 1977 as a part of Voyager 1, so it's still up there.
And this is a short excerpt of her playing that piece from 1977. Yeah, and you can just disappear into sound. It's so wonderful. Like, I highly advise everyone to watch this and then just disappear into your own musical journey. Lisa, these women are now starting to get some recognition for the work they've done. And of course, thanks to you because of this documentary that you've made. Why weren't they recognised at the time? Why don't we know their names?
Well, I think it's really because history was written by men and that the history of women is a history of silence. You know, I've really thought about this question a lot, and I really believe that it's the oversimplification of the way we tell stories, our learned longing for a generally white male hero, that has led to the erasure of their groundbreaking accomplishments. You know, that's why it was really important in the way that we made the film, that that the form feature multiple heroines whose stories are told subjectively. As a way of confronting these limiting storytelling practices, we opted for a chronology that weaves, a narration that's not all-knowing. I studied political science in Canada, so ever since my early 20s, I've been thinking deeply about the politics behind storytelling, the stories were told, the stories were not told, and the consequences. And I think, yeah, so much of what's wrong with the world is due to bad stories. And, you know, storytelling is not neutral. People live and die because of the way we tell stories. So, yeah, I hope that
you've addressed the balance a little bit with Sisters, with Transistors. Very quickly, Bishi, you know, who are the most exciting women working in the field of electronic music right now, apart from your good self?
Imogen Heap, Sophie, Hannah Peel, Anna Meredith, Gazelle Twin, Shiva Fesharecki, Afra Deutscher, Lorraine James, Kayla Painter. I founded Witch on this principle.
Amazing. Brilliant. It's been really fascinating talking to both of you. Lisa, thank you so much. And thank you, Bishi. Sisters with Transistors is getting a virtual cinema release today and is being streamed by Barbican at Home and also cultural partners such as Rough Trade and lots of independent cinemas. If that's your vibe, then I highly recommend it.